Kill him. Kill him. The him is President Donald Trump. The kill, that is, the killers would be those who come from the radical left. For years now, the leftist media has attempted to link conservatives to violence perpetrated against liberals, even whether or not such violence actually happened. But when radical left-wingers threaten people on the right, the liberal media tends more often than not to bury the news or ignore it. And that is especially so with regard to threats made against President Donald John Trump. Our president is relentlessly attacked and threatened with harm over and over again. And for the most part, these threats go unreported in the liberal press. And the American people, for the most part, can remain uninformed. The double standards of the media, burying news when leftists threaten and overexposing any so-called threats from rightists, it goes back decades. When Timothy McVeigh blew up a government building in Oklahoma in 1995, the liberal press actually blamed right-wing radio jocks. Can you believe that? Do you remember that? Right-wing radio jocks. The media actually named Rush Limbaugh and Gordon Liddy, among others, for fostering that McVeigh attack. I just find that shocking, don't you? Then again, in 1997, there was an abortion bombing in Atlanta. The pro-life movement was immediately put on trial and forced to defend itself in the media against the media's charge that it, the pro-life movement, was responsible for this attack. And that got radical leftists nowhere, for that never happened. But they did it anyway. In contrast, when Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, was shot in June by a radical leftist, a Bernie Sanders supporter, one James Hodgkinson, the radical liberal media placed no blame on the left or Bernie Sanders, but rather blamed the violent rhetoric, get this, of President Trump. Say what? The violent rhetoric of President Trump? In fact, Scott Pelley, boy, is he a hypocrite. Scott Pelley, the voice of the CBS Evening News, actually claimed the near murder of a conservative was, get this, that is, about Scalise, to some degree self-inflicted. Scott Pelley, to some degree, the attempted assassination of a Republican from Louisiana was self-inflicted. Oh, my soul. How do you take that, my fellow Americans? How do you listen to this liberal media? But then again, to me, that's not very surprising because, in my view, the CBS network and all of its affiliates are the most radical and liberal in the entire United States, and in so many ways really devoid of objectivity. What a shame this once great network led by a man like Walter Cronkite has degenerated to the pathetic level that it now has. When Donald Trump was elected president, there were hundreds of threats made against his life on social media. Twitter, if you can believe this, even allowed this to remain on its site. Listen to this. Assassinate Trump. Twitter let that stay. And as if that were not enough for Twitter, they actually allowed this to remain. I apologize to you, my fellow Americans. I apologize. But listen to what was actually stated on Twitter. Ready? Rape Melania. Rape Melania. Oh, my soul. That is a call for radical leftists to actually rape the First Lady, the wife of our president. The radical liberal media published nothing, nothing. No condemnation of any kind. Aggressive feminists? They said nothing. That silence may well condone the raping of a conservative woman, but certainly not a liberal. The double standards are rampant throughout our media, and it is just incredible how the American public tolerates this even more so incredible hypocrisy. And that is why there is the necessity for conservative media. Media to counteract the lies and abuse of the liberal media, which is terribly unobjective. And the Sunday Telegraph, that publication, and one Manisha Rajesh tweeted as follows, "It's about time for a presidential assassination." It's about time for a presidential assassination. This reporter, a supposed journalist no less, openly advocated the assassination of President Trump. Wow. And on election night itself, the head of the cybersecurity firm Packet Sled, Matt Harrigan, posted on Facebook the following. I'm going to kill the president-elect. May I repeat that? I'm going to kill the president-elect, Harrigan. I am getting a sniper rifle and perching myself where it counts. I will find you, Trump, and I will kill you. Why isn't that man in jail? But the Secret Service was alerted and Harrigan was forced to resign from his company. Well, I guess at least that's something. And even belatedly, he did apologize. But guess what? The national media never, ever covered this story in any depth or reality. Can you imagine this liberal press if this man had threatened to kill President Barack Hussein Obama? They would have gone bananas. And more. One Joseph Lynn Pickett was charged in June of this year with threatening to take the life of Trump. Pickett wrote on Facebook about his plan to assassinate Trump. He said the following. Listen to this. He is a Benedict Arnold, but he's our president, even though he needs a blade in the neck. A blade in the neck. Oh, Lord, help us. Just literally unbelievable, is it not? But again, no media coverage of this threatened presidential assassination, virtually none. And then comes that supposed entertainer Madonna. Is she something else? Who turns vile and political at the drop of a hat, and she publicly proclaims the following. I have thought an awful lot, says Madonna, about blowing up the White House. Blowing up the White House. Can you believe that? But again, there was no media outcry or outrage. Why isn't that supposed entertainer in jail? This radical liberal entertainer got away with it. Don't they all? Who ever gets justice at that level? And then there was the hip-hop rapper Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg. This alleged entertainer produced a video in which he himself shoots a blue-suited clown. Ready for this? The name of the clown was Ronald Klump. Ronald Klump. Real close, isn't it? Which, of course, means Donald Trump. This clown was shot in the head by Snoop Dogg using a fake pistol. And again, no condemnation, no coverage, no outrage from the liberal media. Are we not tired of these double standards, this media hypocrisy and bias and anger? And why, my fellow Americans, why, I ask, do we continue to watch the Three Stooges, ABC, CBS, and NBC? Why do we continue to watch them? Marilyn Manson also did a video in which a facsimile of Trump is decapitated. Decapitated! And even Stephen Colbert posted an image of Trump's aide, Steve Miller, and his head being severed and put on a spike, mimicking the HBO series Game of Thrones. But of course, no coverage from the radical liberal media. Virtually none at all. And even Kathy Griffin was caught holding a fake severed head of Trump. The president himself tweeted regarding this incident, and the radical liberal media was forced. They only do it when they are forced. They were forced to cover it. I continue to wonder where these people came from. Where did they come from? And how did they get the right to put out this fake news, or no news, or news without any fact or objectivity in so many cases? How did these people ever get control of all three major networks? How? And the New York Times, and the Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post. How did they get such control? And the anti-Trump violence movement even occurs in colleges and universities. The Knights for Socialism at the University of Central Florida, UCF, held an event in June of this year for visiting students and offered them the opportunity to use baseball bats to smash pinatas bearing photos of Trump and Attorney General Sessions. In a video of the event, one so-called knight said the following, come beat Jeff Sessions' face in. Come beat his face in. And one boy in the video asked the question, can I kill Donald Trump? Can I kill Donald Trump? But no media coverage. None. And in June, the Public Theater in New York staged Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar. The play contained a Trump-like Caesar, who was stabbed to death on stage. The major network said nothing, but Fareed Zakaria of CNN praised the show and urged people to go see it. And then comes so-called actor Johnny Depp. I repeat, so-called actor-turned-politician Johnny Depp. Depp asked the following question. When was the last time an actor, I assume he meant himself, when an actor assassinated a president? Oh, it's been a while. Maybe it's about time, said the learned Depp. And of course, ABC and NBC said nothing. In July, Democratic State Representative Scott Heyman of the great state of Maine posted on Facebook the following. Trump is a half-term president at most, especially if I ever get within 10 feet of that, and I will leave out the four-letter word, my fellow American. Trump is a half-term president, especially if I ever get within 10 feet of, well, you supply the rest. Isn't that incredible? But no investigation by the Secret Service and no publicity from any of the networks. Why? Why not? The only conclusion, my fellow Americans, is that the liberal media despises Trump and all things and all persons conservative. They tolerate threats against the life of the president. They condemn them not, nor those who make them. Ah, oh, what a tragedy for America. We the people, and especially conservatives and Christians, believe that we should know the truth, and only the truth will make us free. We get no such truth from our liberal leftist media, and really, we never will. It then becomes the responsibility of a Fox News, or the Wall Street Journal, or the Washington Times, or even smaller media groups like the Crawford Broadcasting Company, to tell the truth, to deal with facts, to give people the unpublished truth, so that the American people can in fact know the truth. We regard it not only as our responsibility, but our privilege to do so. On the day that Representative Steve Scalise and three other people were almost murdered by Bernie Sanders supporter James Hodgkinson, Jesse Benn of the Huffington Post asked the following question. Get this. This is just unbelievable. What is more harmful, putting millions already on the margins more at risk via draconian policies, of course the Republicans, or shooting a racist lawmaker in the hip? A racist lawmaker in the hip. As though shooting that man in the hip, and elsewhere, by the way, small potatoes compared to whatever else is on this radical's mind. And of course, there were no facts to back up the claim of racism, but this bigot got away with it, like they all do. And even more things anti-Trump. On MSNBC, ugh. Former CBS anchor Dan Rather, remember him? Boy, am I glad he's former. Dared to psychoanalyze Trump and stated, Mr. Rather did, we haven't had a president this psychologically troubled in this way since at least Richard Nixon. Like what way, Danny boy? But of course, this psychiatric expert, pardon my sardonic approach, this psychiatric expert rather never described in what way Trump was troubled. And of course, he got away with it. And he was actually praised for his astute analysis. And Bill Maher, well, I'll tell you what, my fellow Americans, this man, in my opinion, is the worst of them all. What a loser. Revealed in his very own infinite wisdom the following. And Donald Trump is kind of a traitor. Traitor! Donald Trump is kind of a traitor. What in the world does that mean? And in what way, Mr. Maher, in what way? And ABC's Joy Behar claims that Trump and his Republicans have one basic objective when it comes to women. And she stated the following. Let's not forget, they are trying to keep women, I guess they is are the Republicans. They are trying to keep women in their place, you know, barefoot and pregnant. Oh, Lord in heaven above, are you kidding me? Anyway, she said it, and she got away with it. Well, why don't they tell that to Nikki Haley, or Betsy DeVos, or any of the female executives who run and operate some of America's largest corporations? I don't see any of them barefoot and pregnant. There have never been greater opportunities for women in America in all walks of life. Perhaps Joy Behar is herself a prime example of this ever-growing gender equality. And boy, that's such a good thing for America. You know the old adage, when you need a good man for the job, hire a woman. Interestingly, White House Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, one good woman, cites a study showing that the networks in May and June spent 353 minutes attacking President Trump and pushing, in her words, a false narrative about Russia. In contrast, says Sanders, the network spent only 1 minute on tax reform. How about that? 353 attack minutes to one positive reform minute. Anything and everything to destroy Trump. Destroy him, say the networks. And boy, are they trying. And then, of course, there was Charlottesville, about which all America is fully aware. Yet more violence as the extreme right, the so-called alt-right, marched and proclaimed their message of white supremacy, among other radical positions. No matter how odious the speech, and it was, their speech was constitutionally protected, that right of free speech, no matter how others may disagree. It is allowed. It is free speech. But of course, it generated violence, terrible violence, and even a killing. What a tragedy. That event was indeed tragic. And perhaps it is a precursor of things to come in America. It seems as though the day and age of free speech and dialogue is over, at least when that speech is perceived as extreme. And when it is, the end result may well be violence. We can only hope and pray, my fellow Americans, that our great country will never decline to that level. But we need to fear it and watch it and prevent it with all our might. We can counteract the speech of white supremacist racists, and we should, with more speech. Speech with truth and fact, but not with violence. Never with violence. We can work, and we can hope, and we can pray to that end. And speaking of prayer, on July 13 of this year, evangelical leaders gathered with Trump to discuss some policy matters at the White House. And they engaged in prayer in the Oval Office. Prayer in the Oval Office. I wonder how many times that happened with Obama. Even these evangelical leaders placing hands on Trump. And a picture of this prayerful scene was actually tweeted. For conservatives and Christians, that was a special moment, one so very good for our country and good for Donald Trump. But of course, the liberal media was totally nonplussed by this event, and the coverage thereof was nothing but negative. But prayer, my fellow Americans, prayer to the God who gave us these inalienable rights, including free speech, is indeed a great part of the answer to the problem of violence, and even to biased liberal media reporting. We the people need to be calm, to grow in respect for each other, no matter our differences, learning all over again not to deal with these problems in the old eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth way. And only then can dialogue be restored, along with respect for each other, and for our right of free and truthful speech. As with the prayer in the White House, the Oval Office with President Trump, so should we pray for our president. Pray hard and sincerely for that man and our political leaders, whether we are for or against them, to pray for them that they will have divine wisdom and courage and that they will be blessed. And so will, consequently, our very own country. For only then, my fellow Americans, only then can God continue to bless America.